This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. So here's what happened in this case. Not too long ago, a bunch of football players at Northwestern University tried to unionize. They were, they said, basically employees upon whose labor the school and the NCAA and countless others make big piles of money. Northwestern said, no, you're not employees. Today, the regional office of the National Labor Relations Board said, yes, they are too. It will be appealed to the main NLRB offices in Washington, but if it does stand, this ruling is the proverbial big deal. Andrew Zimbalist is a sports economist at Smith College. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Explain the rationale here, would you, that these players are employees of the university?
Well, Mr. Orr, who is the director of the Regional National Labor Relations Office in Chicago, gave the rationale that the players are employees because they receive compensation. And the compensation that he referred to is scholarships, grant and aids, which are valued at $61,000 roughly, and that the players are subject to the employer's control in the performance of their duties, and that their duties benefit their employer, Northwestern University. So this is consistent with really the history of the NCAA. At the beginning of the NCAA in 1905, they stipulated no scholarships at all because scholarships were a form of compensation and our students are going to be amateurs. The NCAA changed that rule around the late 1940s.
If this stands, and it will be appealed, as I said, the school has already said so, how large is that can of worms that is going to open? This it could be pay, it could be withholding of labor. I mean, there's all kinds of things that employees get to do.
Yes. Well, the first thing is that the ruling, if it is appealed and upheld, only applies to private colleges.
Uh-huh.
And most of the schools in FBS, the Football Bowl Subdivision of Division I, 124 such schools, the large majority of them are state schools and would not be directly affected. If the players do unionize at Northwestern and if they ask for wages as such, then the NCAA will disqualify them on the grounds that the NCAA and college sports are amateur and they can't be paid. But if they do something else, which is to say that they want a cost of living adjustment or they want to have catastrophic injury insurance for those players who are injured and can't go on to play in the pros, then they could stay within the NCAA rules and presumably they could then trigger other universities that are private to also unionize and to ask for the same things. I think the larger issue here is that this is a momentum for reform of the NCAA that has been building, and this simply pushes that further along.
Is this the big one then for the NCAA? I mean, it's been taking a lot of hits lately.
I don't know if this is bigger than the other things. This is simply something that's pushing the momentum along, and it remains to be seen after it's appealed and a decision is made at the national level where it's all leading.
Do you believe the NCAA has been, if not burying its head in the sand, then hoping this whole thing goes away? Have they been actively trying to do something about this? You know, labor and
well, they yes, so they're anticipating a lot of this stuff, and there is some movement for reform. But yes, I think the NCAA has been burying its head in the sand. It's trying very, very modestly now to do something about it. But when you have college coaches who are paid $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 million a year, which is as much or more than the professional coaches, which are coaching for professional teams that generate 5 or 10 times as much as the college teams, it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's crying out about the exploitation of these athletes. So there's a movement that I don't think is going to stop very easily here.
Andrew Zimbalist, a sports economist at Smith College. Professor, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.